I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed, the podcast that attempts to overcome ignorance mostly by asking ignorant questions with me, Jessica Michelle Singleton. I'm your host, and I'm ignorant. I know nothing. And that's why we're here, to learn less nothings, more nothings, to learn more. I don't really understand. Listen, if you're new to the podcast, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. You came in at a crucial time in all of our lives. I'm doing a dump of election-based material. Different perspectives from people voting, different directions, and or not voting, perhaps. So today I am dumping a few episodes. You'll see them in your timeline. We've got a lifelong Republican voting Democrat. We've got a lifelong Democrat voting Republican. We've got a third party libertarian and possibly some more by the time this is coming out. I am trying to wrangle a few in time just to hear some different perspectives. Or maybe you want to hear a perspective you agree with that you can just go like, yay, that makes me feel good inside. In which case, we probably have that, but also fucking go to Twitter. I don't know. What do you want from me? I don't always have guests I agree with, and I think it's important to understand what's going on in the world by hearing where people come from. So that's what this little mini-series is, and I thank you for sitting with it. If you have not yet, please subscribe, rate, and review me over on iTunes. It helps. It makes other people find the podcast so we can all learn answers to our ignorant questions. And thank you so much to everyone who has already done that. Speaking of supporting the podcast, shout out to my best idiots forever, Jean and Kathy, over on Patreon. We've got all types of levels. That was just our top tier level people. They're really high rollers. You can be them and get shouted out every single episode. You can join for as little as a dollar a month. There's a lot in between. I have stand-up clips. It's the only place you can find my stand-up now is at patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. I've pulled it from everywhere. We have full-length episode bonus content, so you want more than an hour of every episode? I post it all there with no ads, unedited, unfiltered. You can keep listening to the free one. You get an hour's worth of an interview, but it cuts off at an hour, and there's some shit you're going to be missing with this. And with a few of these interviews, it's going to stop at an hour, and you're going to be like, no, fuck that. I need to hear the rest of this. What happened? What's going on? We've got bonus content. We do hangouts. I send postcards and more. Head over to patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. If you can afford to spare a dollar a month, or maybe a little more, I can't tell you how much that means to me. Having your support means everything to me, and it really, truly helps me, both emotionally and literally financially. I could not survive and continue to do this without the support of viewers like you. And when I say viewers, I mean that you're viewing me with your ears, which is listening. We're having fun. Shout out to my brand new patrons, David, Jean, and Jill. We got two Jeans. Hi, Jean. Hi, Jean. Yeah, thanks for joining. I don't know what that was, but I appreciate you being part of the group. I'm excited to get to know you all better over on the Patreon. Other ways you can support while supporting yourself, head to NeuroGum's website. I almost said NeuroGum.com, but it is GetNeuro.com/JMS. Get 15% off your first order of NeuroGum. If you haven't had NeuroGum, oh my God, you're missing out. It's caffeinated gum, but it's got B vitamins and L-theanine, so it gives you focused energy. It's great. You want to get a project accomplished? Want to get your mind in order so you can really hone into a creative thing? Chew on a piece of NeuroGum. They gave me this code because I was such an avid fan. I tried it a few months ago. It's amazing. I have a bit of a scatterbrain. This helps focus your brain, and I love it, and it's all natural. It's all good for you, and it's tasty. It makes your breath fresh. If you have things that aren't fresh, like big stinky poops you want to get out of your butt, I also have a code for Squatty Potty. Go to squattypotty.com and use the code FILTHY20 to get 20% off a Squatty Potty. They have lots of products over there. They have Squatty Potties of different heights. They have adjustable Squatty Potties. You're too fancy to have a piece of plastic around your toilet? Well, guess what? They have teak. They've got marble. They're fucking stepping it up, and they have a travel size one. You can fucking tuck it up, put it in your suitcase, and go globetrotting when the globe is ready to be trotten again. And Squatty Potty, if you don't know about it, it's a stool that goes around your toilet and it lifts your feet up so you are in the proper position that our bodies were meant to be in for pooping. It makes the poop fly out of you. Look, I'm just cut to the chase. I would like to say that in a nicer way. I'm sure some of you would like to hear it in a nicer way, but the facts are facts. You want to spend less time on the toilet and just get your body dumped? Get dumped. Squatty potty. But don't, like, get dumped. I mean, whatever. Prevent getting dumped by getting your dumpings out so you're not farting on dates and stinking up the room. I don't know what I'm saying. Look, Los Angeles, are any of you here? Are you listening? LA, I know you are. I see you on my analytics. Comedy Store, this Friday. I'm doing the first ever live recording, live episode of this podcast, Ignorance is Blessed. Friday, November 6th, 7 p.m. in the window of the Comedy Store. You can come, sit on the patio, grab a drink, have a table. It's all socially distanced. It's a lot of fun. And I'm bringing back former guest of the show, Madison Shepherd, also a great friend of mine, director of my one-woman show, Codependent Arising, which was at Edinburgh, if any of you saw that. We're talking about surviving the pandemic, staying sober throughout a pandemic. She's only been sober for just over a year, and boy, what a year to choose to finally get your shit together, huh? But we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be having some laughs, maybe some tears. Probably not tears. I'm being dramatic, but definitely some laughs and just fucking keeping it real, maybe riffing with the audience. So come to the show. That's this Friday, November 6th, at the Comedy Store on Sunset. Seating is outdoors. I will be in a window, so there's no chance of me accidentally spitting on you when I talk, or anyone else. I'm working on it. Listen, come to the show. If you want to come to a show in Anchorage, Thanksgiving weekend, and I'll also be in Wasilla that weekend. I believe Friday after Thanksgiving, I'll be in Wasilla, and then Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and the Saturday after, I will be in Anchorage. Details to come, but I am very excited to get home and immediately complain about how cold it is and say I regret coming home. But I don't regret seeing all my friends there, and I hope I will see you guys at the show. I will have ticket links for that ASAP, and you'll want to get those as fast as you can because everything's at half capacity. So you don't want to wait on tickets to the show. All right, I'm shutting the fuck up. Listen, this first guest in this miniseries, it is Danielle Higginbotham. She is a lovely woman. She's an amazing person. I know her through mutual friends. We were both members of the same sorority. She was a few pledge classes ahead of me, graduated before me. She was a lifelong Republican, started college Republicans at the University of South Florida. And this year, she's voting for Biden. I interview her to find out what fueled that decision. Enjoy. Hey, idiots. Welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed. I have a really exciting guest for you. My good friend, sorority sister, Danielle Higginbotham is here. And we are talking, I mean, we're going to talk politics, but it's state of the world. And anyone who listens to this podcast knows how much I hate talking politics because of how angry it makes me. But I'm excited for this conversation. I'm doing a few different ones, but I'm like, oh, someone, this is the conversation of someone who's A, I adore you. B, like, oh, we're voting for the same person. So like, it's a little more fun to be like, right. Before we kicked on, so Danielle, welcome, first of all.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy to have you. We were just talking about how you just moved back to the States.
I did. I got here March 11th and lockdown was March 13th. And we moved back from England. So didn't get on a plane on the 11th, we would have never made it back to the US.
You would have been trapped there.
Still.
And how long were you living in England?
Almost 6 years.
And that was that military that brought you over there?
So, yeah.
Well, that's extra interesting to me is hearing, I mean, knowing that you have this like military background, because my mom has been a civilian contractor, civilian employee for the military. And I always thought that, I mean, she comes from a family of lifelong Republicans, but
so do I.
Yeah.
My parents have like a MAGA mantle in their house.
God.
That I can't like, I can't even take it. Like we do not discuss politics. And when I try to, I'm shut down immediately, like with, I'm not having this discussion with my cats because you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, because you can't defend your points. And it's the same for me. And usually I'll just try to avoid it because I'm like, I'm not going to change you guys at this point. I've tried to have the conversations about what about this, what about that. And then every once in a while, my parents will throw something in to try to bring it up. And it's like, you don't want to go down this road.
Like, oh, I just like poking them in the ribs with it just because I know that I know more than they do. And I just want to like slam them against the wall when it comes to their support of this dude. But I also have to remember they're my parents and I love them regardless of their idiocy. I just don't understand it, I guess, is the bottom line, especially coming from someone who used to understand. Like, I just come from a place that, like, I get it, but now I don't see how you can continue.
Still. Yeah, so support. You, when you were younger, like growing up, you like identified as Republican.
So I got really involved in politics when I was at USF and in the sorority. I used to get told, like, Danielle, no protesting in your letters.
Oh my God, that's like, so funny. Like, God, I wonder, that's probably still a thing. I don't even think about that.
They would be like, when they would do those little superlatives, like most likely to blah, blah, blah. Mine was like most likely to be seen on CNN or Fox News debating something. So oh yeah, God. I was really into politics. I was a US Senate intern. I was like worked for a political action committee. I was really into it. And I started College Republicans at USF. Well, restarted it. It was completely dead.
Oh, my God.
And then my senior year was 2004. I was hired by the Bush campaign, like
that's
a paid employee.
So it was pretty,
yeah, I hadn't even graduated yet. So it was pretty awesome. So I got hired, and I worked really hard on the campaign, and it was a lot of fun. And, I had always been registered as Republican. In fact, I still am a registered Republican.
That's interesting.
Which will probably change, but that's a whole nother subject on how I think this two-party system is complete trash.
Yeah, that is, that's another podcast in and of itself.
Yeah, it's like, so that's my problem. I don't the Republican Party as it is today, I cannot identify with.
No, but I mean, I don't know how anyone can.
And while I may not agree with like every single policy within the Democratic Party, I probably believe in more of them than I do within what the Republican Party looks like now.
Well, that makes sense. And also, if you are coming over from being a Republican, if there was a candidate that it, to me, makes sense for a Republican to be like, all right, I could vote for that guy. Like Biden's pretty moderate in terms of...
Yeah, I think so. And I'm not voting for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
So to me,
I mean, like, I would, just in case anyone's listening, Bernie would have won. But that's a fundamental difference with me and a lot of my friends, because so like, you're a maniac.
That's where I would draw my line. But
which is probably why, I mean, Biden is a candidate, because I think they're like, we've got to get these moderate people mm-hmm. who are sick of Trump.
Yeah. And I don't understand the other thing that like, and I was having this conversation with someone previously, you have to determine now whether or not you're voting for policy over character or character over policy.
Yes.
Or if it's a combination of both, or if you just don't care, or if you're always going to be a straight red voter or a straight blue voter.
Yeah. There are people who treat it like a sports team that it's like,
my ballot completely mixed. Like I went through, researched every candidate and was like, when I looked at it at the end, it was completely mixed. But right now, there's no way that I could support the character of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
At all. Like what kind of world do I want my son to grow up in? What kind of person do I want him to be like? Do I want him to be a Donald Trump saying he's going to grab people's...
Yeah.
I guess I can say that on your podcast.
Oh, you can say, I've been saying grab him by the pussy for years and I had to retire it after he came out. I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, so, it's
Do I want my son to grow up saying that? Or do I want my son to have better role models like Kamala or even like Joe Biden? Granted, the sniffing of the daughters. Hair is a little bit creepy, but he's not grabbing, saying those horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
And to me, like, what kind of world do I want him to live in? One where the president is not saying it's okay to grab women by the...
that's... if for anyone, because I put the, like, first hour, like, this may only go an hour, but I put the first hour video up on YouTube. And for anyone who's only listening in audio, like, you are dressed like someone who can't say that word. Like Danielle looks so nice. She's in like a nice, like businessy looking, adorable blouse, pearls, amazing red lipstick, which by the way, thank you for putting in lipstick.
First time lipstick.
Effort.
Lipstick in 8 months, girl.
I am honored and also so sorry that I'm just in a pajama t-shirt.
It's
I went
okay.
too hard for the, I mean, all my
You have like a fancy tea set next to you.
Yeah, this is my like, podcast corner, and so it's just like weird props, like here's a tea set my mom sent me from Korea. I'm like, am I sophisticated? And then there's a picture of cartoon
and then
dogs.
There's a picture of dogs. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's me in a nutshell, I guess, is like childish shit and then pretending to be an adult. Wow. So let me ask you, was it Trump and his character specifically that started to make your shift?
So yeah, I think yes. Let me start with saying yes. So I worked for General Mattis.
Okay.
He was my boss for a number of years, and he was the most incredible boss I've ever had.
Wow.
He was just someone I respected, someone who respected the people that worked for him, and there was just mutual respect, and he's one of the smartest men I've ever come in contact with. And, you know, I work in a very male-dominated community.
Yeah.
And he was someone that never made – it's hard to explain. You never could tell that you were the woman in the room.
He never made it weird or made it –
yeah, everybody was always equal. And I really respected him. So when he became the Secretary of Defense, I was very excited.
You're like, I love that guy.
I was like, okay, like at least Trump has some – people in positions that are smart and that can influence him.
And you're like, I hate him, but at least this guy I respect is making some decisions.
Trump's narcissistic qualities and his just his narcissism ran those people out of those positions. And General Mattis left.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was probably one of the biggest indicators to me that there was something seriously wrong with the administration.
They are like, oh, this is
red
flag.
I didn't want to vote for Trump. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't vote in the last election.
You didn't?
No. And it was a mistake kind of thing, like just by happenstance of what was happening when I was in England trying to get my absentee ballot, which sometimes is a nightmare. When I got it, it was too late to send it in.
Oh.
Just so and I couldn't get down to London to drop it off. Like it was just like a big, chaos. So I didn't get a vote. I did not want to vote for Hillary Clinton. But I did not want to vote for Donald Trump. And I swore up and down that I would write in General Mattis
as my
writing
candidate.
So I was so excited when he was on the cabinet. But that trigger that he left was, I think, what just...
That you were okay. My instincts were right that Donald Trump was not someone I wanted.
And then snowball effect almost. Every single decision that he has made, I've been like, what the actual fuck? How are you playing off this pandemic like this is nothing? Like, oh, it's fine. I got a little sick. You got a little sick. You also are the president. So you get mass amount of treatment that the regular populace isn't afforded.
Exactly.
I was like, you're telling people and you're not setting a good example. You're walking around without a mask. Like, even if the mask doesn't protect you, it might protect somebody else. So if you care about humans in general,
that's what's crazy to me is like the anti-mask people, that it's like it's a piece of fabric that says I give a shit about other people.
Yeah,
like at this point, if nothing else, it's just like, hey, I'm not an asshole. It's like,
exactly. And I mean, there's some pretty cute masks out there.
I'm loving mask culture. And it's like, I love your lipstick, but I love the I can just get ready from here up.
I just have to wear mascara.
Right? That it's like, nobody will know. I made the mistake of once putting on a mask before brushing my teeth, just rushing out to walk my dog.
No, don't do it. Oh. No, woof. And don't eat garlic and then put your mask back on.
Oh my God. Yeah, but it's like people are, you know, that when, as soon as he got the virus, I was like, oh, if he recovers quickly, anti-mask assholes who are so fucking dumb.
And then to see things in the streets of these anti-Semitic white power, where am I living?
Right.
I'm Jewish. Do I want to see these people, when you say white power, I guess this is another part that I have to deal with my Jewish mother. When someone says white power to me, that means that they want an Aryan nation.
Yeah, supremacy.
Which means that Jews are not part of that.
Yeah, we're not invited to that.
How are you going to support someone that's like, cool, was like, hey, white power? Like, what?
Yeah, and the thing, and it's like the argument I've heard is like, that's actually a really small part of the people supporting Trump, but it's getting, exactly. People like, it's just getting more media. And it's like, okay, but he should, the fact that he can't even like go, hey, like, I'm not cool with that.
Yeah. And
like
and
that baby step of going, just so everyone's clear, I don't that's want white supremacy.
That's not what I want.
Like, he can't even say that sentence.
And then I get like really frustrated because I grew up in a family of police officers, right?
So oh, wow.
My dad,
added layers.
My dad, military, retired military, became police officer. I have two brothers that are currently police officers. One that's a former police officer, two that are military. So it's just everybody police officer, military kind of family. Do I support police officers? 100%. Do I support the Black Lives Matter movement? 100%.
Yeah.
And you're like, trying to explain to people that because you are a Black Lives Matter like supporter does not mean that you are an anti-police supporter.
Yeah.
And explaining that to my parents is like, I might as well just speak to a wall. Like, hi, wall. Like,
yeah, you're like, this might as well be a foreign language that they do not speak.
I'm like, no, I'm not saying I don't support that. But like right now, we need to support our Black community because they are the ones that need the support.
Yes. And it's, yeah, to me, it's like, you know what we need is for like police officers to be like more vocal about being like, yeah, that like, you've seen it a little, but like more people going, yeah, no, like I'm a police officer. I care about my community. That shit's not okay. Like,
yeah, 100%.
I'm like, yeah, of course, you know, people want, you know, protection, so, like serve and protect, obviously. Yeah, the fact that people immediately when you go like, hey, like we should care about Black people being murdered, that they just go like, you want to defund the whole police department. And it's like, no, I don't trust people to just care for themselves. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've like really struggled with that. Some other stuff that I've really struggled that I think has pushed me to vote more on the Democrat side is guns. And this is because I think I shifted a lot when I moved to England. Guns are illegal in England.
Yeah, you have cops don't have guns, do they?
No, well, yes and no. Okay. So cops in big cities, some of them have guns. They're okay. Specially trained on guns. Like in London, you'll see the police force with some guns, maybe like Manchester or like some big cities.
Yeah, yeah.
Your average police officer does not have a gun. People that have guns are like maybe farmers that might need to like protect their animals.
Yeah, and it's like wild animals.
Yeah, so it's like a shotgun or something and you have to have special permits. People don't have guns. Do you know how many school shootings there have been? Zero. None. So when people come at me and they're like, yeah, well, bad people get guns no matter what. Well, you know what? There's bad people in England and yeah, they don't get guns no matter what. So you can't tell me that,
yeah,
that this whole thing. So to me, like the gun reform issue, because in another life, I was also a school teacher.
Oh my God.
And I taught in Coral Springs by Stoneman Douglas. So a lot of my students went to Stoneman Douglas. Not during that time. I'm old, so they had already graduated.
But it's still, it makes you think about.
I could have been in a classroom where this could have happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, why do people need to walk around with their Hawaiian print shirts and their AR-15.
Like,
why do you need an assault rifle? You don't need one. I'm not trying to take away your handgun that you might want in your house, but who the hell needs that? Do you really need it? And I was in the military. I know how to fire one of those. Like,
yeah.
I am trained. I went through extensive training with it. The average person doesn't go through that extensive training.
No, they just own it. And it's like, oh, good.
It's not even necessary.
I know. And it's also, it genuinely makes me sad to think that there are people who think they need that, that it's like, well, you don't see a problem with the fact that you live in a world where you think you need to have that? Like, yeah, that doesn't
exactly
raise any alarms for you?
And I grew up with guns in my house. Like, I think we had one in every room. In fact, funny story, first day of work when I came back to the US, my parents were up here and my dad let me use his car. And because we didn't have our cars yet, you know, everything's being shipped. So I'm using his car and I'm driving to base and I like slam on brakes and I'm like, oh crap, my dad, why an 85-year-old man needs a rifle in the back of his car. I was like, oh crap, I can't drive onto base my first day of work in a car that's not mine without a Maryland driver's license, like with a gun. So I call at like 6 a.m, hey, I need to switch cars because I have dad's gun. My dad's response, well, which one? I have a couple in the car. And I'm like, oh my God.
What are you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Break down and start a shootout? Like,
an 85-year-old man. Like, what's he going to do? So I grew up with guns. I won't have them in my house now. It's not that I don't trust myself or teaching my son. I don't trust other people.
No. I mean, you always hear those horror stories of like somebody found a gun and started, you know, playing with it.
Yeah. Why do you need that extra risk?
Oh shit, I lost you. Your audio.
I muted myself.
Oops. Okay.
I mean, I have alarm systems on my house. I have everything, lights that come on. I don't need a gun. If I'm going to get shot, I'm going to get shot.
You're like, it's done. I'm not going to, it's not going to be a shootout.
So.
Well, that's where I go on the fence of like, I don't want guns, but then I like see these really pro gun people getting all up in arms, no pun intended, but like, then I'm like, but should we all have guns? Cause they have guns.
I mean, I don't.
But what am I going to do?
I don't have anything against people that want to have like a handgun or a rifle. Like that's fine. But
these semi-automatic.
Why? It's just stupid.
It's so also that, like, if the logic is like, well, if the military tries to, it's like, you're dead either way. If the military's like, we're going to just
trust me, that gun isn't the biggest weapon the military has.
Yeah, exactly. That it's like, oh, well, do you have room
for
a tank?
And when is the military going to turn on? Okay, we are not living in a third world country where military dictatorships are like taking over the world. We are in America, guys.
I know. Stop. People in their tinfoil hats and they go too deep down the...
Yeah. And I have friends like that. I mean, I work in a community where people are very pro-gun, but I have to say there's been a big shift. Like, I would say that, like, ages ago, decades, eons ago, when...
In the old days.
No, I mean, right after 9/11, I would say the majority of my office would have been, like, Republican. We're all voting Republican. Now, I think the majority of my office is like, no way am I voting for Trump. Which is a really interesting shift to me. So I don't know if that's indicative of anything. I hope it is. But so the gun issue, what other issue is there? Oh, you know what? And this is really interesting. Sorry, I'm like blabbering.
No, that's, please blabber. The more you talk, the better. Like, I want your perspective shared. I'm just here to.
Another thing that got me is healthcare. So let me explain this. I lived in England where there is socialized medicine. It is absolutely horrific. I hated it. I hated every second of it. It was horrible.
Oh, wow.
I wish that I could explain how bad it is at the same time that I wish I could explain how wonderful it is. So it takes months to get treatment for anything. I was lucky and I had private insurance.
Okay.
But I also use the NHS. So okay. I would use the NHS when I had a common cold and I would just go to the doctor and I needed to get some kind of medicine or
some
something
remedy,
like that.
Yeah.
I used my private insurance for any surgery I had and when I had my son.
So with private insurance in a situation like that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Is it just a thing where, like, you can get somewhere more immediately? Like,
yeah, you know? I just was able to walk into the, they call everything, every doctor's office a surgery. So I was able to walk into the surgery and get, see my GP, my general practitioner, and get, like, medicine. I had to have sinus surgery there. Wow. If I went on NHS, I am actually still on the waiting list, which I need to remove myself, for my sinus surgery on one side under the NHS. And it's been like a year.
Whoa.
I had my sinus surgery on the other side within 2 weeks of the doctor saying I needed to have sinus surgery.
But they allow, I mean, that fucking sucks for people who just have NHS, but I like that.
Yeah,
you were able to have the option of.
I was lucky, but so my husband only had NHS, mm-hmm. and the NHS saved his life because he had to have some serious surgery immediately, and he was able to have it, and he wouldn't have been able to afford to have the private health care.
Wow.
And there's also the NHS maternity care is amazing. So I had my baby in a private hospital. Finn was born at a fancy hospital where, like, yeah,
okay.
I feel like pretentious jerk talking about it, but my insurance covered it. I don't have to pay.
You're like, I was next to one of the royal family.
That's where they have their babies.
Oh my God.
Is where Finn was born. So I had my baby in that hospital. The care was unbelievable. The best OBGYN ever, but didn't understand midwives. I didn't understand it. So I have friends that had their babies at home under NHS or in the hospital at NHS. Me privately, I was able to have my own room.
Oh.
During theirs, they had their own room for labor and delivery, but then they went into a shared ward with like 8 other women and 8 screaming babies. I would have gone crazy. God. But nightmare. The aftercare that the NHS provides for women is so important. You have out inpatient visits from like midwives, and they continue to check on the mother, not just the baby after the baby's born.
Oh, that's so great. For like, are they checking for like health, but also like postpartum
mental health and regular health, which is huge. And it was unreal. And I got help for postpartum anxiety, and it was amazing what the NHS did.
That's amazing. So
it was incredible. So that to me, I feel like people in the US need to have that kind of care.
Yeah. My friend had a baby and then like ended up finding out later she had postpartum, but she's like, no, if I didn't have a therapist, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. Like you like leave the hospital and they're like, bye, have fun.
Goodbye forever. We don't care. Next.
And so reform like that in the US, I really think needs to happen. Not just when it comes to like postpartum care, but just in general, every single person deserves to have medical treatment.
Absolutely.
Period. Do I think we need to be on socialized medicine like the NHS? I don't think it's possible for the US.
Just because we're too big or?
And it's a broken system. There's just so many things wrong with it that bringing it here and starting it from scratch, I think would be nearly impossible. But yeah. There has to be some kind of healthcare reform where people are taken care of. No one deserves to die because they can't get medical treatment. And
yes.
That to me is important. And I don't think the Republican Party stands with that.
No, I think it's all, the private insurance shit, it makes me crazy that like, I agree with you that there needs to be something. I feel like with Obamacare, it was like more of a, you know, signaling like, look, we're trying to do something, but the execution was fucking terrible.
Yeah. And I think it put some people worse off.
I mean, it was, yeah, I was in a weird bracket where
I don't understand it, to be honest, because I was overseas the whole time.
I don't think anyone
really understands it.
But it was frustrating seeing friends who I know are in like perfect health going, oh, well, but Obamacare's so great, and having to be like, excuse me, I'm a poor person who has a chronic condition. Actually, it's terrible. Like the amount of waiting, like you were saying, I went to a doctor before I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And I was like, hey, I went to a walk-in clinic who said I should come see someone because of the numbers of a test, like a blood level. And I was like, they think maybe it's like a rheumatoid arthritis thing. And this doctor, no lie, was like, well, it could be a lot of things. It could be lupus. It could be leukemia.
I mean, it's not funny, but like,
no, but, and
you
then
could
he
have
goes,
cancer and you could be dying.
And he goes, we'll make an appointment for you to get blood work in a month. And then, and I was like, excuse me? I like lost my shit. I was like, you're going to just say it could be leukemia and you want me to come back in a month? Are you out of your fucking... And then I was like, this is what everyone here is dealing. I was like, God forbid somebody here actually has leukemia. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, it's broken and we need to fix it. I am not an expert on how to do that. So I'm just going to complain about it.
Yeah. I know that's the problem is that like, I don't know what the solution is, but there needs to be one. Does anybody have any suggestions?
Like, yeah. I mean, I hate not being able to say, well, I think we should do this, but you know, I'm not a politician. It's not my job. I am not in the healthcare industry. I don't understand the ins and outs. So I have to vote for people who I feel like I could maybe trust to try to do that. And I don't trust anything when it comes to Donald Trump at all. Like, I don't even trust him breathing. Like, it's hard for me because I work for him.
Yeah, because you work for the government. So.
Yeah, and this could be like a conflict of interest, but I mean, I work for him, so I respect the office, and I respect that he's my commander-in-chief, and I will obey any order unless it is unlawful, illegal, or immoral or unconstitutional.
Yes.
And I will 100% provide the best quality work to my
position and like
do that no matter who's in office. But the great thing about being American is you're able to exercise your right to vote, and that's the most important thing, I think. Like, I don't want him in office, so I'm not going to vote for him.
I mean, which is like,
and if he ends up in office, I'm still going to work just as hard as if it was the person that I voted for.
Yeah, which is, I mean, comes with the territory of, you know, working for the government. And you just have to hope that changes will be made elsewhere. Because on the note of healthcare, like, I feel like if there was any question about whether he had any capacity to care about the health of America, it's pretty much been answered with this pandemic.
The response was just, they knew about it for too long. I mean, they did nothing. Everything has just been handled poorly. Not trusting your own doctors, saying that, like, the miscommunication and the mixed messaging that's come out about it.
Absolutely.
Like, at the beginning, do you remember, like, at the beginning of everything, it was like, the CDC says this. No, the CDC doesn't say that. Like, do this, don't do that. Like, no one knew what was going on. Yeah. Everyone's just like, do I just stay in my house forever? And
yeah, like, do I never talk to people again? Like what?
Or am I able to go out? And I just, you know, I don't know the best way that it could have been handled.
Yeah, it's hard to know. But other countries did get dramatic about it. But, like, they've figured it out.
Yeah, I thought I muted you again.
Oh.
So, like, that issue. And one issue that is really, really a big issue for me is, well, there's two more. One is, I can't support a president, or I can't say I love you to my friends who are in the LGBT community and vote for Trump. Like, if you have friends and family that are part of that community, you can't tell them that you love them and support them and then vote opposite.
Yeah, vote for someone who would potentially take away their rights.
So, I don't understand why people can't get a grasp that every human is equal and every human deserves to live equally.
It's crazy.
And to me, supporting the LGBTQ plus community is very important to me. Like, yeah, it's just something ingrained. Like, my son has been to Pride Parade already. He's two. We just are like big, huge supporters in our house. And
yeah,
and it's because, like, I want to teach my own son, like, hey, I don't give a crap who you love. They just better be a good person.
Yeah. And it's like, you should love everyone. You know what I mean?
And I can't teach him that and vote for someone who stands against it. So that's a major issue for me. Like, no way.
Yeah.
That one. And women's rights. So, so this is where I get a little deep.
Okay.
And I've had to, like, separate what I might do personally versus what I think
people should be allowed
to do.
I think that's what a lot of women feel, that, like, they go like, well, I would never do XYZ.
But you don't know if you would never do it unless you're in a situation.
Yeah, there's no way to know until you're pregnant. I mean, or whatever. What are we talking about?
What
here?
Are we talking about? Yeah. Yeah. The word that rhymes with smortion. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, let's be blunt. Like, I don't know. Well, right now in my life, I wouldn't have one. I would have another child, but I also am on birth control.
Yeah.
So, and I have the right to take birth control.
Yeah, you're on birth control. You're employed. You have, you know, like, you're in a stable situation.
It doesn't even matter if someone's not employed. Like, if they want to have a child, they can. If they don't want to have one, they should.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. I was just saying, like,
yeah. But
there's so many factors that could play into why someone would go, maybe I shouldn't have this child.
I also am a firm believer as I don't believe in abortions after a certain period. And and that's because I've seen friends who have had premature children at week 23 or something like that, who have survived and are fully thriving adults now. And so that makes me personally uneasy. And the mom is still living, so there was no issue with the mom.
Yeah.
And doctors try, like, I'm speaking about one example specifically I have in my head, and doctors tried to convince my friend's mom to abort his sister.
What?
And she, because she, they thought she was going to grow up to have a lot of medical issues and not be able to survive. And she's married now and an adult, and everybody's fine. I also know someone that just was like, just going to have an abortion. I'm 22 weeks. And I'm like, what were you doing
for the last 22 weeks?
Like, I'm not okay with that. But that's my personal opinion.
Well, yeah, and that also speaks to, I think, the where we need to pick up with, like, healthcare, too, is that, like, and who knows what that specific person's rationale is, but it's, like, you should be able to immediately go to the doctor and figure out if you're pregnant. Like, that should be, you should be able to, like, uh-oh, my period's missing, instead of going, what am I gonna do?
I can't afford this test. Yeah.
Absolutely. And people take it to this extreme of, like, the government shouldn't pay for abortions. It's like, nope, nobody's saying that.
Yeah. So that is one issue on the women's rights thing. Another is equal pay.
Yeah.
All right. So my mom was a firefighter. So she
why are you such a badass? You're like the most all American. I mean,
I know our family is like, hey, red, white, and blue, let's wave a flag. And yeah, it's ridiculous. So my mom was a firefighter, and she was one of the, like, first, I don't know, within the first 20 women on the department in Miami. So it was a huge department. So I've always known that women could do the same job as men. I've always just known women can do the same job as me.
You're like, it's not a conversation you had to have. It was just my mom's a firefighter.
Wasn't until, I would say, the last, like, 5, 10 years, maybe less than 10 years, that I really started to see the disparities of women in the workplace. Wow. And it really upset me, because how do we populate the world? Women have children. Then women are taken out of work for 9 months. Well, yeah. Not 9 months. I take that back. You get like 6 weeks off in America, yeah. Which is absolute garbage.
If you
got another conversation.
Lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. Whole nother podcast on that.
Oh yeah.
but you're then not on the same level as your peers. And this is an American thing. This isn't like this in other countries. Then you're trying to play catch up with your peers that are men to be on the same level because, hey, you've been out of work or you're pregnant or you're having children. And the expectations are for women to be working mothers and also mother.
Yeah, to be a great mother and also go to work full time.
Yeah,
and
it's very hard. Yeah. And I mean, I'm really lucky because my husband took a year off of work to take care of our son.
Oh my God.
What? So I could work.
What?
Yeah. He was stay at home dad. Like, it's like, we are breaking the mold. He took a year off of work every day I was depressed about it because, you know, I want to be home, but I'm the breadwinner.
Yeah.
So I need to work.
It came down to who makes who most money that person
exactly.
needs
to do it. So that bothered me, that whole thing. And then seeing me do the same exact job and having to explain things to I'm just gonna say old white men.
Yeah.
That are just like, oh, you're just a woman. And I never had anyone say that to me. I did have someone say, oh, it's just a catty girl fight. Cause I worked with another woman who was just a horrible person.
You're like, no, I get along with women. She's a,
yeah.
Like, she's it's not, I'm not a feminist. Yeah. She is a bitch.
She's just like, everybody on the team quit. She's a see you next Tuesday. Like, I cannot deal with her. It's not a catty woman fight. So I started seeing a lot of that, like seeing how I had to answer to a whole bunch of older white men about how
you had to explain yourself.
Yeah,
and everyone else was just like, they've got it.
So like, for instance, I'd started doing a lot of research about it, like words to describe women on evaluations versus words to describe men on evaluations. Mm-hmm. So if I get told that if a man is assertive, that seems like a very positive thing. But if you put assertive next to a female, it seems like a negative word. Oh, she's kind of bitchy.
Yeah, like pretty bossy.
Yeah. Yeah. And those were like things that I was battling, like, because I am assertive. I am stern. I'm pretty fierce in the workplace.
Yeah, you're a badass bitch.
And if any guy had those, thank you. If any guy had those adjectives next to his name, they'd be like, man, he's a superstar.
He should be the boss.
Exactly. And me with those adjectives next to my name, it's like, she's kind of hard to work with.
She's difficult.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, no, I'm not. I'm the same as the dude.
Yeah.
So
I'm not difficult. You just don't want to hear a woman's opinion.
So those kind of things really got to me. And then when I started looking at how both parties were addressing it, I was like, pretty clear. The party of equality is not the Republicans. And I don't know if you saw one of Trump's latest ads. I got to find it.
Oh my God.
I saved it.
No, I love that you're getting the Trump ad still. Cause it's like
someone posted it.
Okay. I was like, oh my God, you're getting like intel from the other side.
This is the
real intelligence.
Where did they post it? Now I'm mad. It was like a Trump ad. I can't find it, but it was a Trump ad with his picture. And it was like, we're getting your husbands back to work. And I'm like,
excuse me?
Go F yourself. Getting your husbands back to work?
Like, yeah, what
do I do all day?
That like speaks volumes to
what's
left of his base. That like he's now pandering to people who go like the nuclear family, like a woman's place is in the kitchen. And it's
I saw that. I'll find it. I'll send it to you. You can post like that on your webpage because of what a joke that ad was. I just couldn't believe it. Like, that's who you're going to advertise to. Like, we're getting your husbands back to work.
You're like, okay, well, what about my job, motherfucker? Like,
yeah.
I was also employed. Because by the way, no one can afford to live in a single income, I mean, a household.
Oh, gosh. So I am, well, my husband just started working because we also have to deal, and that's another issue, immigration. So my husband's British. So we're dealing with immigration. And I'm like, okay. There's all these like rules and regulations that have recently been put into place. Thank God that we are not one of the families that have been affected by that. However, yeah. We are affected by the timelines. And I think it's a mixture of COVID and Trump, the Trump administration, which is delaying things.
Yeah. I feel like there is this using COVID as a scapegoat to.
Yeah.
Bullshit around.
So we're waiting. He got his work permit, which is fantastic. It took forever. So he was out of work for like 8 months. He just got a job. But you can also see like discrimination in employers hiring people that just have work permits versus actual green card holders and benefits that are applied to that. So my husband gets offered a job, getting paid a pretty like okay amount for someone just coming to the US. And I said, oh, well, what's like your retirement and your leave benefits? He's like, nothing. They just pay me by the hour. And I'm like, okay. And he said, yeah, the whole place is just full of foreign nationals.
Oh, so they can get away with like not getting benefits.
I'm like, of course it is, because these people need jobs and they're taking things that like, it's just unfair. And we're still waiting on the green card. It's who knows when it's going to get here.
I mean, everything's a clusterfuck, including the mail.
Well, that's all. I love my mailman. He delivers like packages to my house. Not that I have an Amazon shopping addiction, but I might.
It's easy to have.
He's here like 3 times a day delivering mail in our neighborhood. And it's not just because of my orders, but like, the post I asked him, like I went outside and I talked to him about it. Like, hey, like, how are you doing? Because I know that like the postal service is going through a lot right now. He's like, yeah, it's pretty hectic. I make like 3 rounds just to make sure everybody gets their mail as fast as I can. They were hand sorting for a while because the sorting machine was closed down.
That's insane. Like,
why is this happening to people? Like, and I really believe it's because of the narcissistic, misogynist person that is in office. It leads me all back to that. Like everything that there is, like, and you know, how has the government lost the parents of 500 plus children?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not enough, like these poor babies, I'm like, I want to adopt all of you right now. Not adopt, but like foster all of you right now until we find your parents. I'll come, everybody come live in my house.
I know. It's so fucking sad. It's like, it's also so sketchy. It's like, what in the fuck?
Yeah, it's. So all of those reasons have made me, in summary, all of those reasons have.
And for everyone listening, what state are you in?
I am in Maryland.
Maryland.
But I got to tell you what I did on purpose. I did not register to vote in Maryland. I stayed registered in Florida because Florida is such a swing state.
I want my vote to count.
I wanted my Republican registered self to vote Democrat in Florida and it count.
Yeah. And you're like, and I want Florida to take note of that.
Yeah.
That
like, so I was like, please take note that I am Republican voting Democrat and I stayed registered to vote there. And I sent in my ballot and tracked it and it was received and hopefully we're good to go. And I was like so careful filling in the little thing.
The thing is in theory, it's like, it's very easy, but like everyone's terrified of fucking it up because it's like they'll throw out a ballot just because like the signature or whatever.
Yeah, I was so careful. I like read the directions on how to vote like 30 times. Like I don't know how to vote. But yeah, I was really careful and did that. So yeah, I'm in Maryland now. And okay.
What is Maryland Republican?
Yeah, I think the governor's Republican.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember what.
Yeah, the governor's Republican, but he wrote in Ronald Reagan on his ballot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. I didn't know whether it was a cop-out or
it's
whether
also like,
it was
fuck you,
funny.
Just because you don't want to vote for, like, vote for the other guy. But he's like, can't upset my constituents.
Yeah, so he is a Republican, but like where I live, it's not Republican where I live.
Nice.
Yeah. I live in like a really great like community I'm kind of obsessed with, and like everybody's just really kind to one another, and we all like, we live on a cul-de-sac and we all go outside and talk to each other. The kids don't really play in the backyards here. They all play outside out front.
That's great. And, that really sounds cool. Like such a great like neighborhood, such a great place for kids to grow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And hopefully it stays that way and fucking Trump gets out of office.
So how do you feel? No.
What? Ron Paul, 2012. No. Yeah, I mean, because I, like, honestly, obviously as someone who has gone all the way over to being like, Bernie Sanders, like, I don't love Biden, but it, like, and I hate the two-party system too. There's a big part of me that's like, I don't want to fucking vote for either of you. Like, I want to shake it up. I want to vote third party just so we start getting somebody else in there. But then I was like, not today. Like,
I mean, as much as everyone's like, well, they'll never succeed if you don't vote for the third party. Well, I think the third party sucks too.
Yeah, it's like there's not any candidates that I'm like blown away by.
Yeah, like I'm not libertarian.
No.
I am not like, what is it, Green Party?
Green Party, I don't even know what the other parties are.
I'm not any of those things. Like, so what do I do? Do I vote for one of them and then essentially give Trump another vote, or do I take a vote away from him? And I was like, I'm gonna take it away.
Oh my God, I hope today. I hope Biden wins Florida. That would be.
It is gonna be all because of me.
Yeah. No. Wait, but wasn't, okay, you were on the Bush campaign.
I was.
No, that wasn't the year. It was 2000 was the year when all the ballots in Florida wasn't.
Yeah,
like the whole...
So that was my first year of college, and I voted for Bush that year.
Yeah, there was that like scandal of
all the hanging chads.
Yeah, hanging chad.
Hanging chads.
I knew a hanging chad in hung chad.
A hung chad in college.
Yeah. Okay, we'll wrap up. But when you initially like starting college Republicans.
Yeah.
Joining the Bush campaign, or
I worked for the Republican Party of Florida too. It was my first job out of college.
Wow. Did you ever want to be a politician?
So I wanted for a long time to have a political consulting firm. And I wanted it to be a Republican based firm. And I was going to call it Little Pink Elephants.
Oh my God. Very cute.
Because I was just going to, I wanted to help almost brand politicians, like style them and help brand them. And
oh my God.
Like I was really into that. I was like, what are they wearing? That's not
image consult. I mean, it's a big deal.
It was a huge deal. And I wanted to do that. And that's why it was going to be cute. Cause like little pink elephants and like,
oh my God, adorable. Like,
it was going to be so cute. I was going to do all these great things. And I worked for the Republican Party of Florida. And while I was working for them, it just seemed really weird. And I'm sure this happens in every party because politics is just so dirty no matter what side you're on.
I mean, that's the thing is especially like, and that's where I go like, fucking fine, I'll vote for Biden, but like lifelong politicians.
You're
and, like,
still dirty.
Yeah. You've made some dirty deals. You've told some lies.
Exactly. Like, so when I was working for them, right, my boss was like, I don't know, I would have to like carry around like, things for him like Diet Coke and like gum and stuff like that, and he was just really weird and he felt really shady to me, and I ended up quitting mainly because like it just didn't feel right. I was working a lot of hours and not getting paid well, and my gut was like,
which is what you get when you vote Republican, you guys. Lower wages for more hours. Sorry. Keep going.
So I didn't know. Well, turns out he got arrested. Yeah.
Scandal.
I had already quit. He got arrested and went to prison.
What? For what? Whoa.
Like stealing money and like fraud and all this. Like, I mean, his name was Jim Greer. If you can Google.
Oh, okay. That name.
You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was in prison. He got like, it was crazy. And I was like, oh my God, my gut was completely right to just get away from this.
Thank God you got out before then. Cause that would, what a tarnish on your resume.
Yeah. I was like, man, I don't want to do that. And then, that's when I left to join the Army Reserves and was away. And then did my whole like army thing, and I was a school teacher, and then
such a badass. One more question, and then I swear I'll let you go because
I'm teleworking right now.
I'm doing my part. Living overseas, how was the perception of like American politics over there?
Every single person asks you about Trump. Every single, like your best friends. But we do the same because we, oh my God, you know the queen?
Like, I know, like, oh my God, the queen. Like, I mean, yeah, she like exists. Yeah. She lives.
So I'm like, and then you have to explain whether or not you like Trump or whether or not you don't. It's really weird. I think most people think he's kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
I do have a close family friend, like my family has friends there and their son's my age, and he's obsessed with Donald Trump to the point where I have to like tell him to stop talking to me about him. Some people like love him, but I would say the majority of people are just like, come on. Like, but then again, they have their own version of Trump with their prime minister. So
yeah, that's like,
yeah, but it's not as bad. So, yeah, I think people, the perception is like, what's America thinking? And then what you see on the news are like these racist people out there like supporting him.
And people just go, oh, that's America. I'm like, that's America.
And if I can give a plug to the show, This Is America or What Is America, that Sacha Baron Cohen did.
Yes.
If you have not watched that show, everybody needs to watch it because it really shows the perception of like what America is right now.
Wow.
And it's freaking hysterical, along with the new Borat movie.
The new Borat movie. Oh yeah, my God. But
this show is like, my husband, who's British, is obsessed with it. He thinks it's so funny. He's like, yep, this is what people think of America. This is exactly what people think of America.
And I think if anyone hasn't watched it, like, it'll horrify you to go.
It'll make you so uncomfortable.
Yeah, they're like, this is what people think we are. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's completely embarrassing. It makes you uncomfortable, but it's exactly the perception of what people see.
I think that's so important to know, because I don't. So many people I think are unaware of like how the world, I mean, it's American education teaches you to like think about America and nothing else. And it's like, yeah, by the way, everyone's like, look at these fucking assholes.
Like you can't even, like you can ask a British kid, like everything about like World War I, World War II, and they'll be able to like spout off details. You ask American kids, they're like, we had the Civil War.
Yeah.
And the Revolutionary War.
They're like, I think there were Nazis in one of those wars.
And it's so different. The sense of nationalism overseas that I felt the British people felt about their country is always what it was like here right after 9/11.
Really?
That's how I felt. Like,
so the people were like very like pro Britain.
They're very patriotic people.
Yeah. They're like, we love our country.
That was my experience. We love Great Britain, and then you have the people that love their country. Like, we love England. I am English. I am Welsh. I am Scottish. Like,
I am an individual. We are not this.
And you're like, ask my husband. I am English.
English. I don't affiliate with this group.
Yeah. So I think that they have their sense of patriotism is and nationalism is like in their blood more than it's in ours. And maybe that's because we live in a country built of a lot of immigrants, and maybe it's not designed to be like that, but you got to have an America that people love
and want to love.
And I'm not sure that this is the America people want to love. they want to love America, but how can you love it when people are innocent? People are getting shot in streets just because of the color of their skin.
Yeah.
Like, how can you love a country that's saying that people, because two men love each other and want to get married and adopt a baby, that they can't?
Yeah. Like, I mean, how can you pledge allegiance to a flag in a country that's like, by the way, we're not going to care about you.
Like, and do I think America will protect us at all costs from foreign enemies? Yes. And okay, I have the faith in that, that we will do that. And we are a great country and we have a great military and are able to do those things. And I'm really proud of that.
Yeah. But it's like, how can we protect each other?
I'm not so proud of people not being kind humans.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. Just be a kind human, people.
Yeah, be fucking care.
Just be nice.
Don't be a dick, America.
Yeah, exactly. That's the new campaign slogan.
Don't be a dick,
America. Like, just be nice to people. Like, it's so much easier just to, like, be nice.
Yeah, it's also, like, you'll feel better giving out, like, nice energy versus...
Yeah, don't you feel better? Like, I've always been a kind of person whose glass is always like half full. Like,
yes,
crappy things can happen to me, but you know what? I'm alive. I have a family. Like, there's people worse off than I am. I'm still able to help people that are in need. Like, yeah, my day sucked.
Yeah. But like, gratitude for what you do have.
I mean,
focusing on that regularly, there's science behind, like, I mean, that's a whole nother podcast, but like, if you start making your perspective focusing on what's great and the positive things, like, that affects your overall well-being. And there's studies.
And you rub off on those that are around you. Like, I don't want my son to, like, grow up seeing me negative all the time. Like, oh, this person did this and blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, and just thinking everyone sucks and, like, life is shit. And
yeah. I mean, he's already going to have a hard time. He's a redhead. So, like...
World is already against him.
The world is already against him.
To cushion him. Oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah.
This has been great.
I'm glad I got to see you.
I'm glad I got to see you. Hopefully the world opens up again and maybe I'll be on that coast at some point.
Do people like laugh when they find out that you were in a sorority?
Yeah, people are shocked. It's probably because...
and that you were, like, really a big part of it?
Because I'm a slob. Like, yeah, and I'm like, no, like, I pulled myself together in college. And then I was like, ah, I don't have the energy. Yeah, no, it's so funny because I loved my sorority. But then I also think that, for me, Chi Omega, there was definitely things that were like, okay, this is clearly a sorority. But it wasn't... I wouldn't have joined if it was like the cartoon of what I thought was a sorority.
So, you know, it's funny when I joined, when I walked in, like went through recruitment, I walked into the room and I was like, oh my God, there are girls that are not all blonde haired, blue eyed girls. There's like white girls, there's black girls, there's Asian girls, there's Asian girls. And I was like, okay, I can get behind this.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is a group of like diverse women.
Yeah. And that's something I've always been really proud of with Chi Omega.
Well, there you go. Danielle Higginbotham voting for Biden, changing it up, and lots of really cool information, cool perspective, and a little inside peek at our college experiences as well. If you like this episode, let me know. You relate to this episode? Let me know. If you like the podcast, subscribe, rate, review it on iTunes, share it with your friends, because everybody's a little bit ignorant sometimes. Big thank you to John, Eric, Jean, Greg, Kathy, Terry, exclusive members of the League of Extraordinary Idiots on Patreon. You keep these episodes flowing and keep me sane. Couldn't do it without you. If you want to join the League of Extraordinary Idiots, get postcards, be part of our hangs, get bonus content from me, and the only place to see stand-up, Patreon, patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. Head there, get stand-up clips, get full-length episodes. You want the rest of this hour? It's over an hour. Do you want the rest of the over the hour? I'm doing great, you guys. It's over on Patreon. Sorry, I just had a brain fart because I, didn't chew my neurogum, and I'm trying to put out multiple episodes in one day. We're having fun. Listen, follow Ignorance is Blessed on Instagram if you want to see the people you're hearing on these interviews. And please keep in mind that no guest is or claims to be a representative who has a similar identity, They're just one person sharing their own experience and ideas to help us get a peek at how things look from their situated position in the world. Also, if you heard me say Jesus fucking Christ and didn't hear the phone ring, my phone just rang while I'm trying to record on my computer, so I'm fine. But I obviously have anger management issues, apparently. You have additional questions for this guest, or you have questions you might want to ask future guests, join the Facebook group. Ignorance is hashtag blessed idiots. I post there ahead of times that I'm bringing on guests. I try to give as much warning as I possibly can. And I can, I'll answer your questions. I'll ask for questions. You post them there. I bring them to the interview. That's what I do. So get your specific questions answered. And please keep asking questions. The more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thank you for listening, and thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.